there. This week, we're talking about The Departed.
Hit the music.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
And I'm Michael Flaherty.
This is Flaherty's on Films, a super cool podcast where we take suggestions from our super cool attractive fans about the best movies ever made. What are we talking about this week, Michael?
The Departed.
Oh, yeah. We said that at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it about? I haven't heard of that nonsense.
I'll read the description here. An undercover cop and a mole in the police attempt to identify each other while infiltrating an Irish gang in South Boston.
Michael, what did you think of this film?
I love the premise that there's an undercover cop and an undercover criminal, and they're trying to like, goo, who's, I'm trying to find you out, boo. That's the part I really like. I really like the premise, but the movie I felt is, it's not to my taste. I felt like it is a Martin Scorsese film. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of cool gangsters, like, oh, gruff man, violence, oh, I'm evil, oh, anti-hero. But like, I didn't want that. I would like this movie with no characters and just people like, and just plot and just like scheming and figuring stuff out.
Like a whodunit?
Yes. That's exactly what I would have liked. And I didn't love this movie.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of a bit racist against Irish people. So suddenly it's okay just because we're white.
Skip it.
I don't really think that. That was a joke.
Yeah, I know. It's just too funny.
It was too funny.
Sorry,
I thought
mean.
When I originally watched this movie, like not even that long ago, I remember really liking it.
I remember your review.
Was?
A lot of stars. How's it?
Lots of stars. It is strange how sometimes just depending on your mood or what you've watched recently or like how you're feeling can really affect how much you like a movie, because you're actually the one who said this, that you're just like, I'm over Scorsese and his nonsense, because I have also just watched The Irishman and I'm like, egh. So this is a bit much.
I promise to our audience members, I do like movies. Like I do like things. I just sound negative like all the time.
Yeah.
I promise I like stuff.
I did kind of like this. You know, this was suggested by Junus Norman.
Let's go to our first segment. Bam.
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us some really cool facts about the movie. Sam, go for it.
In 2003, Warner Brothers and Brad Pitt purchased the rights to remake the 2002 Hong Kong film Internal Affairs.
Oh my God, I love that name so much more because it's like two kinds of internal affairs.
Nice.
Get it? You guys?
Are you really sad now?
I'm so sad.
It's better than The Departed for sure.
Right.
So this is a Hong Kong movie.
Yes, it is a Hong Kong movie.
Okay, I want to see this movie.
So it came out, apparently it was really awesome, and then they bought the rights to it and then rewrote it and changed it mostly to make it make sense in Boston.
Right.
And with kind of this mob, but apparently Martin Scorsese did not know that it was based on a foreign film until after he agreed to direct it. But anyways, okay. So
I bet
sorry.
They picked the name because it sounds really Boston-y.
Yeah.
It's padded.
His inspiration. So William Monahan reworked the script to have it set in Boston.
Internal Affairs stars Richard Greer.
What?
The 2002 Hong Kong?
Of 1990.
Nope. Yeah, 2002. Different one.
Oh, so there's multiple movies with the same title.
Yeah.
It could be a thing.
I don't like that.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Words are not all words can be copyrighted.
Damn. Sorry. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
So William Monahan was hired to rewrite the script to have it be more set in Boston. His inspiration for the character of Frank Costello was after the Boston mob boss Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
Is that Bulger?
He's famous.
Bulger. So Bulger was this mob boss in Boston who...
I meant to.
Are you watching the trailer for it?
No.
On mute? Well, while we're doing our podcast?
Just getting a visual. Oh, look at these men. All they're like looking at each other. Oh, damn, they're running. What are you running from? Whoa.
The truth.
Oh, man, split screen. Dude, you saw the eyes? Damn, shit.
No, I don't even want to see the trailer now that I've seen
Dazzling, says the New York Times. Riveting, says Variety. Blistering, says the Guardian.
No, Richard Gere, says everybody.
Different movie, says the Guardian. damn, I want to see that.
Anyway,
they're looking at each other.
Maybe Junis likes this movie because she just likes movies with Matt Damon having a Boston accent.
I mean, she might have seen Internal Affairs.
Oh, well, she is an aficionado of Hong Kong cinema.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Continues.
So Bulger was a Boston mob boss who was controversially involved with the FBI. I think there's some back and forth on if he was or not an informant. But basically between him and his handler at the FBI, John Connolly, like they basically he would give information about other mobsters while like committing murders and stuff. And they just let it happen. Mm-hmm. So
he definitely was an informant, but it was like, was the FBI just kind of also on the take?
Yeah.
They were letting him get away with so much.
It was kind of a weird situation, but his handler, John Connolly, actually got arrested for helping him out and for everything he did.
Sounds right.
Kind of based on that relationship. When Martin Scorsese read the script, he immediately signed on to direct. Originally, it was planned to have Colin Sullivan, played by Brad Pitt, and Billy Costigan, played by Tom Cruise. However, Pitt felt like he was too old for the part, so he would take on the role of producer. Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon would be brought in for the role.
Well, what happened to Cruise? Could he not do the accent?
I think they just kind of dropped him after that. Like, it was the idea of the two of them kind of age similar.
I couldn't imagine Tom Cruise doing it, to be honest.
Well, now I want to see him try the accent. I think that would be fun.
He's not really he's like an action guy, you know? He's not really a, like, intense psychological drama guy.
That's fair. Matt Damon would spend time with the Massachusetts State Police Unit out of Boston to prepare for the role. He accompanied them on their patrols and was taught police procedures like patting down a suspect. He even got to participate in a drug raid.
Ooh.
Next was the role of Frank Costello.
If you guys had a celebrity come shadow you at your job, would you kind of like lie about what you do and make it sound more exciting? Or would you like just, bro, this is the job? You want it to be authentically portrayed on screen.
I mean, I feel like I'd worry about slacking because I just want to play ping pong. There's a ping pong table at my work.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I want to play ping pong with Brendan Fraser all day.
Is Brendan Fraser the guy who's going to play you in the movie?
I would assume
I would 100% watch a film about Brendan Fraser being a video game programmer.
So you're just trying to like, so Ben, this is what I do all day, Brandon. By the way,
we got to go again, man.
We get a third guy, we got a round robin situation.
Anybody? Me and Brendan. Come on, let's go.
They'd be like, Michael, it's time to work.
Then they'd have this
jungle
movie.
Ain't got shit. All right.
In the movie, they just play ping pong the whole time because that's what he knows how to do then.
Right.
I mean, that probably would be better for dialogue purposes. How about you, Sam? Would you make insurance more exciting?
No, insurance is very boring. So I would just be like, well, I stare at my computer and type. Here you go.
Got it.
How about you?
I would just take fake phone calls all day that sound really important. And then I'd have to like, and then I'd be like, I have to go. And then I'd run out and come back and be like, sorry, I can't talk about it.
This is a press emergency.
Yeah.
I like it.
Pressing emergency.
That's great. So next was the role for Frank Costello. Originally, Scorsese wanted Al Pacino for the role. Since the 70s, Scorsese's had wanted to work with Pacino. They just had not had it work out. However,
they worked together on Heat. Right? Martin Scorsese, didn't he do Heat with Al Pacino?
Hold on.
No one could say.
There's no way we could possibly know this. But
we have three computers in front of us. We can figure this out.
Our phone's kind of a computer.
Kinda.
Then we have even more. No, it's directed by Michael Mann.
Yeah, oh. Colleen. Oh. That's a Mann film.
What about Casino? Was he in Casino?
No. Colleen, that's why, okay, my next fact is he couldn't do it. He turned it down, so it wouldn't be until 2019's The Irishman that they would work together. That it was a big deal that they were working together in
I
The
had
Irishman.
No idea.
Yeah.
I just assume, because all these movies are kind of the same.
Yeah, no, it wasn't until The Irishman that he actually got to direct Al Pacino.
Infernal Affairs has a sequel.
What's it called?
Infernal Affairs 2.
What, are you saying Infernal Affairs?
That's what it's called.
Infernal Affairs, not Internal Affairs.
It's called Infernal Affairs.
Oh, that's my bad. I thought it was internal.
It's called Infernal Affairs.
What the hell does infernal mean?
I don't know. Is it a pun, maybe?
Infernal.
Like inferno?
Like inferno?
Yeah.
Relating to characteristics of hell or the underworld.
Whoa.
But I bet it's also kind of a pun.
It's a like, pun. Yeah, yeah, it's good.
That's good.
Michael, do you just want to watch this movie instead of The Departed?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So his next pick after Al Pacino passed was Jack Nicholson. Nicholson had spent his last few years doing comedies and was drawn to the character who was an evil, sinister villain. Once he signed on, his role was expanded to give Nicholson some more room to play. He was given a lot of freedom to add to his character's unpredictability. Nicholas would improvise a lot of his scenes and would suggest many interesting ideas, such as pulling a gun on Billy, throwing cocaine on prostitutes, and wearing a strap-on for the porno theater scene.
I just feel like that's things he does in his life. That just seems... Nicholas... Michael, you're just shaking your
head.
Don't
like those ideas.
Why?
This is so silly, just so over the top. That's my personal feelings.
Maybe crime bosses
I like things.
That.
I like other things.
What you do know? You like?
I like tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Onions. I like a lot of food.
Are you just listing the stuff you had
the
on your
stuff
sandwich?
I had for lunch. Yeah. I like avocado.
And when they all come together, when man, what a party. Together,
boy, don't forget the bread.
So DiCaprio has said that filming his one-on-one scene with Nicholson was, quote, one of the most memorable moments of my life. Although Nicholson was playing a character based on such a horrible person, there was one line he would not cross. Bulger was known for always wearing a Boston Red Sox hat while out and about, and Nicholson, who hates all Boston sports teams, refused to wear the hat and even insisted on wearing his own New York Yankees hat instead.
I thought that was weird that he wore a Yankees hat.
Yeah.
Did not think about it.
Anyway.
Another addition to the cast was Bostonian Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. Falling back into his native accent was so easy for him that Scorsese joked it was so thick they'd need subtitles. Wahlberg had an interesting time in his youth, and he based his performance of Sergeant Sean Dignam on the police officers who had arrested him around 24 times and the reaction of his parents when they had to bail him out with their grocery money.
Because he's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude, guys. Don't...
Not that if you get arrested a lot, not you're like a bad person.
No, no, he's
Mark
legit.
Wahlberg is a bad person.
I did not,
like
not know that
Michael
till recently.
Jackson is bad.
But, oh,
oh
no,
wait.
Wow.
What are you doing?
I was thinking the song. Oh! But then I was like, wait.
My mind
caught up. I'm there.
I mean, it is different. It's pedophilia different. And racist lynchings are different.
There's a whole spectrum of bad. Could be the Joker.
I was earlier going to make a Joker thing when they're like, oh, Jack Nicholson got to be a villain. I'm like, he was already the Joker. He's done it.
Inspired by the 1932 version of Scarface, Scorsese hides hidden X's in every scene where someone is murdered. So kind of like...
Because like they're dead.
They're X'd out.
God, damn.
Like okay. Kisses.
Like kisses. Who kissed the bodies?
Exactly like kisses, guys. That's the right Lisa idea.
Martin, damn.
So this film, like I said, cost $90 million to make. It would gross $132 million in the United States and $159 in other areas for a grand total of $291.5 million.
That doesn't sound like a slam dunk.
It wasn't, but it was
like a home run.
It wasn't
like my sports metaphors.
Yeah, it's
I'm
like,
trying to expand our listener.
It was
base.
Like a hockey goal.
Or a soccer goal.
Like a soccer goal, yeah.
Nothing but net in any of those sports.
It was like a badminton goal.
It was like a tennis serve. No, that doesn't
work.
We
nailed this
Ace.
Joke. Time to move on.
I wouldn't say it was like blockbuster, but it definitely made an impact.
Where does that term come from, blockbuster?
I don't know.
Who busts the block?
Anyway.
We are all over the board today. So anyways, a lot of people listed this as the number one movie of the year. And Scorsese is known for having a great movie of every decade. And this is the 2000s.
All right.
So I think it was Taxi Driver, Raging Bull,
right,
and then Goodfellas, and then this. Martin Scorsese would win the top award for the Directors Guild of America for this film. And he would say, this is the first movie I've ever done with a plot.
That's funny. A blockbuster is from the 1940s. It's denoting a huge aerial bomb capable of destroying a whole block of streets.
So it's not really a movie.
Well, I guess, and then the term came to be used in the 70s. Is
that's
like,
funny that a good movie is a blockbuster, but then a bad movie is a bomb. But they're both the same thing.
That is funny.
Oh. So this movie was nominated for 5 Academy Awards. Your question of the week is, how many did it win?
0.
2.
It won 4.
God damn it.
It was nominated but did not win Mark Wahlberg for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
It won Best Director for Martin Scorsese. Interestingly enough, this is his only win ever for Best Director.
Damn.
He didn't win for Raging Bull.
No.
I mean, it sucked, but people fucking love that movie.
People love it.
He didn't even win for The Irishman.
Oh, not for The Irishman.
Also nominated was Best Film Editing and Best Adapted Screenplay. The last award that it did win was Best Picture. To date, this is the only remake of a foreign film to win Best Picture.
Oh, cool. That's a fun AFI thingy.
And my last, it was also nominated, did not win, or was nominated, not added, just if we're talking AFI list, for top 10 gangster films. Oh. So nominated, not on it list. My last fact for you guys today is that although a lot of the characters died in this film, they actually wrote a script for a sequel. The only reason it wasn't made was because it would be too expensive and Scorsese just didn't care.
So the only one left would be Mark Wahlberg and Alec Baldwin.
I mean, it'd be cheaper.
People alive.
It'd be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, for sure.
They'd also go, remember Leonardo? And then they'd have flashbacks.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
And that was...
Bam.
Time for Sam. Hey, why don't we give Judas a call and ask her why she nominated this film?
That's exactly what I wanted to do.
All right, let's do it. Hello, Junis. You're on Flaherty's on Films. We're talking about the second film that you've nominated that has Matt Damon doing a gratuitous Boston accent. Tell us why you nominated it.
All right. So I had not seen The Departed. I waited way too long to watch that movie when I knew it had great ratings and got quite a few awards. So when I finally watched it, it was one of those movies that completely took me by surprise by how good it was. It had so many different levels to it. It has this great story, but it also has so many good actors and very many surprises. Like, I did not expect how that would end. And it was one of those movies that just blew me away.
All right.
And it was also funny. Like, I remember, like, Leonardo DiCaprio's character in that bar, when he, like, gets really pissed off that somebody's making fun of him about cranberry juice.
He so glasses good. Him in the face.
But it was comical, right? So good, though. That's as in-depth I can go for you.
That's great.
Similar to Good Will Hunting, like, if you've seen The Departed, you just get it. It's that good.
Junis, thank you so much for being on Flaherty's on Films.
Thank you for allowing me to give my opinion and also for calling me. What a fun little guest spot.
You're welcome.
You have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, now let's trash this movie.
Let's trash it. Clean, what's your...
No, first...
Fuck.
We'll go to Critics Corner.
Oh, yeah, I forget what this is.
I'll start. This crime thriller is a profane, blood-drenched joy to watch, says Bob Mandela of NPR.
You kind of think as the NPR is being more wholesome. Do they like blood over there?
No.
Don't they like
books?
Oh,
they love it. Oh,
damn. All right. It seems like the director did everything possible to cast the police in a bad light. Oh, no. I don't like this. They were portrayed as crude, heartless, corrupt Neanderthals with little ability to communicate without using the most crass and base terms. The cops weren't corrupt, were unbelievably stupid. Typical left-wing propaganda film.
All right, Hugh. An enthralling morality tale in which the morality rate escalates in tandem with the tensions created... by its riveting narrative, says douchebag Michael Dwyer from the Irish Times.
Is that a magazine? Is that a paper?
It's a paper.
In Ireland?
I assume.
Nice. The best that can be said of this eyesore is that it features an all-star cast committed to violence and is a one step up from the 2005 Academy winner Crash. One viewing is more than enough. T. Near, Amazon viewer. I actually agree with that.
Jake Wilson of The Age says, It's as ingenious as it is artificial.
What the fuck? What does that mean?
I don't know. The Irish Times is a paper in Dublin. It's a daily paper.
Cool. I mean, that's a suitable name.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Why don't we have a paper called the America Times?
That, oh man, who's sitting on that? They couldn't, I love this, they couldn't depart fast enough for me. Predictable, gratuitously violent, awful screenplay, silly, way too long, convoluted, baffling, boring, overacted, especially by Nicholson. A friend said, you have to see the end. Too bad I sat through the whole thing just to see it. Roman Descendant, Amazon reviewer.
Michael, what's your least favorite part of this film? In a little segment we call favorite part, least favorite part.
I think my least favorite part is the romance between Leonardo and the therapist. Like, I get story-wise, like, it's more fun if Matt Damon and Leonardo are going after the same girl.
I didn't think it was fun. Because they...
I mean, conceptually. Like, sure, if you're plotting out the movie, like, oh, they're also dating the same girl. Crazy!
It just felt like Scorsese's total lack of writing a good woman character. Like, she's just this device completely that's poorly used.
Totally.
But a really good actress, I think.
Good actress. But also, I just also did like it because I actually did really like the first scene that her and Leonardo had together where he's just like, I'm just here for drugs. All I want is drugs. And she goes, well, fucking get out of here. I don't just serve drug seekers.
He's like, I'm just fucking honest.
But yeah, he's like, I'm fucking honest and I really do have a problem. But fine, fuck you. I'll leave. And then she goes, okay, I'll give you the drugs, but I'm recommending you someone else could buy. It's like, good scene. And then they're like, what, have coffee? I'm like, no, stop.
There's a scene where he goes into her apartment and she is dating someone and he goes, sorry, I should leave. This is inappropriate. She's like, it's not inappropriate. You're not my patient anymore. And I'm like, girl, you are playing fast and loose with appropriate there.
Yeah. That was my least favorite part.
My least favorite part was I just felt like sometimes it was way too gross. And I think you kind of were saying this where like Jack Nicholson is too silly. But it's like they do the Tarantino thing where they're like trying too hard to be edgy and cool all the time by saying super racist things. Or like when Jack Nicholson goes to that young girl and says, did you get your period yet? And we're like,
there's so 90% of the dialogue in this movie is that.
Yeah.
Just like, what is even the point?
Or we're in Mark Wahlberg, who I'm very happy did not win that Oscar because he's just super hyper aggressive and like, here's some normal dialogue. And then here's Mark Wahlberg. I'm going to fuck your mother and I'm going to fuck her in the ass.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Use my dick. Fuck you.
Ha ha.
That's everyone says that. I mean, yeah, there's the part in the porn theater where Jack Nicholson just whips out a fake penis. I'm like, what is this even for? Like, who likes this? What does it add to the movie? What is it doing? Why is it here?
I bet people loved it.
But the reason why it's there is just edginess. Like, oh, man. Oh, God, I'm slipping on the edge.
Right. What was your favorite part?
The premise, which is why I really want to see Infernal Affairs. My actual favorite part is I think Leonardo did a very, very good job.
I agree with that a lot.
I think he kind of looked like he should have been in a cool boy band as the edgy one.
Yes.
But he did a very good job.
I think some people might disagree with me on this, but I really did like the ending because I usually hate overly convoluted plots and it did take a while to get there. But the last like 15 minutes of the movie, I did audibly gasp more than once. Even though I've seen this movie before, I forgot what happened.
Which parts? When Jack Nicholson is an FBI informant?
Well, first when Jack Nicholson is an FBI informant, then when Leonardo DiCaprio dies, but like you don't see it coming. It's just a Velvet Opens dies. And then Matt Damon kills the other guy. And then Matt Damon kind of is a nice guy for Leonardo DiCaprio. And then Mark Wahlberg shoots him in the face.
It's just too much for me. I mean, especially when...
I needed it.
That's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong. This is just my opinion. Especially when Matt Damon's coworker is also an undercover police.
I loved it.
I'm like, come on. This is the second time this twist has happened in this movie.
I needed it. And I feel like the movie did kind of establish itself as a bit over the top and silly. So it didn't seem...
Not enough for me.
It didn't seem incongruous to what we had been watching.
I love over the top and silly.
But you felt this movie was taking itself too seriously to pull that out.
It's too just like, ugh, I'm grungy and edgy. Ugh.
Oh, I forgot another part I didn't like was the rat stuff. The rat imagery. So I don't know if you guys haven't seen this movie. So obviously the fun premise, which Michael was saying, the premise is so good because it's like one guy is a criminal, but he's really a cop. And one guy's a cop, but he's really a criminal. Get it? They're both rats in their outfit. And then they do that visual metaphor of rats all the time, including the very last scene where a rat skitters across in front of the Boston State House. And you're like, I fucking get it.
No. He got an Oscar. For best director.
Sure did. Oh, and the over-the-top directing with some of the camera work was so silly. Like, just he did a lot of fun camera tricks that took me out of the film sometimes.
And I'm actually surprised that Martin Scorsese directed this. Because to me, the way it's shot and everything about it feels like it's somebody trying really hard to be Martin Scorsese and not totally getting it.
I feel like a lot of the camera work did remind me of Wolf of Wall Street, though.
But like Goodfellas, I felt like they were gangsters. Some about it felt more authentic to me. But this, nothing about this feels authentic.
Oh, that's interesting.
Over the top and silly.
I guess I liked that part of it. I also, I don't know if this really happened or I was just like, had a mini stroke. But there's a scene where they're all doing a briefing. And then Matt Damon goes, "What can you tell us?" Looks up about the Departed. And then there's like camera zooms on his face. And I'm like, because that's the name of the movie.
Yeah, there's a couple of fun camera zooms.
But that was, I guess that might be my favorite part now that I think of it. Anyway, so that was favorite part, least favorite part. Should we go to the intern summary?
Please. We open with a monologue by Frank Costello, played by Jack Nicholson.
Where he likes to use the N-word because he's edgy.
Yes. An Irish gangster's general life philosophy is to take whatever you want and kill anyone who gets in your way. Also racist stuff.
In a flashback, Frank meets a little boy named Colin Sullivan, which, by the way, I love that we just watched The Irishman because the way 10 years have changed the movie making is instead of de-aging stuff, they just had Jack Nicholson conspicuously in a shadow the whole time.
Yeah, that was nice.
Which I like. He takes him under his wing. He teaches Colin his life philosophy and helps him out with groceries. When Colin grows up, he goes to police force to become a spy for Frank, and also he becomes Matt Damon.
Wow, which is so great. Matt Damon is so handsome. While Colin... Yeah. You don't think so?
He's a bit goofy looking. I mean, I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers, but he's certainly not hot.
Is that an expression?
That is a very common expression.
I should learn things. When Colin is becoming a cop, so is another young man named Billy Costigan.
Now that is hot.
I feel like so many of these names are like start with a C-O.
I feel like a lot of them are similar, which is very Irish.
Colin, Costigan, Costello. Like, come on. But Billy has a family history of crime that makes his superiors, Captain Queenan, Martin Sheen, and Sergeant Dingham, played by Mark Wahlberg, unwilling to make him an official cop.
That's what, like, there's this scene where Martin Sheen is just acting like a normal human being and like, hey, so we've gone over your record, blah, blah. And Mark Wahlberg's like, you're no fucking cop. And it's like, all right, buddies. He's like so intense. He's like, why are you fucking lying to him?
That's what I mean. It's like, it's not silly in a fun way. It's just like, stop.
I think, with the exception of Mark Wahlberg, I think some of the scenes in this movie are so good. Like, some of the scenes I watch with these great actors, and I'm, like, wowed at the end of the scenes. I don't know if it's one of these, the parts are greater than the sum.
Can
What's
I
that
say,
expression?
I think we agree on which parts are good, which parts are bad. I think the parts that are dramatic are good. Mm-hmm. The parts are cool or funny or not good.
Okay. That's fair.
Do we agree?
Yes. Okay. Some of the funny things made me laugh.
What's one?
I can't think of one. I don't remember the guy getting glassed in the face being funny, but maybe it was.
Maybe it was. What they will do, though, is make him an undercover agent, and they use his family crime history to get him in with Frank Costello's gang in the Southie neighborhood of Boston. So Billy heads out to see if he can infiltrate Costello's group.
Do you remember that one scene where Alec Baldwin is golfing with Matt Damon? And he's just like, oh, so how's the wedding going? Oh, it's going well. He's like, it's good. It's good you're getting married. You know, then they know one person can stand you. And, you know, one person's getting you some action, sucking your cock. And he's like, and Matt Damon says something like, yep, a lot of cock sucking. He's just like.
No, because they established that he's having trouble in the bedrooms before. So he's like, yeah, my cock is working too well, in fact.
Yes, that was it.
And I actually did like that. Yeah,
that was good. And then like. Yeah. And Alec Baldwin's just like,
like, he's like, yeah, totes.
So the first thing Billy does to establish his street cred is to get himself arrested for assault. And then there's that cool prison scene where he's doing push-ups with his forearms on books. Because he's like,
got the abs.
He does. Are you doing a joke? Because he does have the abs. Wow. Do not joke.
Would I ever joke?
He goes to jail for several months and makes connections with people from the Southie neighborhood. When he gets out, he heads to live with his grandmother in South Boston and starts doing drug deals with his cousin, Sean. But all that comes to a grinding halt when Costello confronts him and orders him to stop doing drug deals with that dumb cousin of yours.
Billy realizes that he needs to up the ante if he's going to get in with Costello. So he beats up a couple mafia guys in a convenience store to get more respect.
That was a weird thing where Scorsese does this sometimes because I think he just likes doing mafia bits. Where one of the conflicts is like between the Italian mafia and the Irish mafia. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't really understand. So like, oh, a few guineas from Providence. That's in Rhode Island. And I'm like, what's happening though? I don't really get it.
That also went over my head. Costello confronts him once again to tell him that the mafia dudes will soon come back to the neighborhood with a bunch of guys to kill Billy.
I also liked the line where Freud said that the Irish are the only race of people that are impervious to psychoanalysis.
What do you like about it?
It's so fun. Because like, we're Irish.
That's us. That's me. Come here. They're talking about me. That's what I said to my cat.
Did she come?
No.
But it turns out the mafia is Costello's biggest enemy, which I didn't really get, but sure. So he decides to bring Billy under his protection. So Leonardo DiCaprio is hanging out with Jack Nicholson, but he doesn't know that he's a co-op. But only after wailing on Billy's broken arm with a boot and interrogating about whether he's an undercover cop, which was like just Leonardo DiCaprio doing some stellar acting, I thought. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done, Frank seems convinced enough to let Billy in his gang.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, so there's obviously a whole thing about, it's like, oh, I think there's a rat in my outfit. Mm. And just the way the film is shot,
the kind that eats cheese. I'm doing my Boston accent.
That's really good. But the way that it's shot, we really only see Jack Nicholson with like three other guys. So he's like, who could it be? Now, I assume this is a massive criminal organization. He has a lot of soldiers. And it's like, I feel like you know who it is. Yeah. Like, just do the dumb math. Like, anyway.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Billy starts off as small jobs at first, but it isn't long before he's accompanying Mr. French, Costello's second in command, on actual murders.
Right. So, again, he's hanging out with like two dudes.
One's a rat. Who could it be? After a year of this stuff, Billy starts losing his mind with anxiety, and he puts more pressure on Madeline, the psychologist that Captain Queenan has forced him to see. He tells Madeline that he needs pills to help him sleep, and he flips out when she won't give it to him.
I thought that was the best acting Leo did, actually, was him just falling apart psychologically. Right. Like, you didn't even need any lines about it. You could see it. It was so good.
And it's probably easier than we're thinking to act pain, like just scream.
Oh, yeah. You're saying the psychological stuff is better than him just...
The subtle stuff is probably more difficult.
Probably, yes. Yeah. After Madeline gives it and hands the pills over, Billy asks her out for coffee. Little does he know that Madeline's boyfriend is Colin Sullivan, Costello's rat in the police department. Crazy. What are the odds? Crazy. See, now that twist is the one that I did not like.
Soon enough, both Billy and Colin realize that the cops have a rat in Costello's group, and Costello has a rat in the police force.
Whoa, two things!
What's going on? So they get down to try and find one another out. Eventually, Colin has some police officers run surveillance on Captain Queenan. Queenan leads them to Billy. Colin follows Frank Costello to tell him where he can find his rat. The thugs show up, and only to find Queenan. Since Billy escaped out of the fire escape, they kill Queenan, making the entire police force not so happy.
I didn't like seeing President Bartlett just thrown off the building.
You don't like being people be murdered?
It was icky. Like his blood spattered up onto Leo, it was yucky.
I think we skipped one of my favorite lines in the film. And this is when they're doing like an operation and Alec Baldwin is kind of leading it. Where they're like, Costello's doing a deal with like the Chinese or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like going to buy some microchips. And Alec Baldwin starts the scene in the briefing with all these guys and all this camera equipment and all the people there. He starts off like, all right, everybody, we're here to see the sale of microchips. No, I don't know what those are. Neither do you. It's, cash, whatever. Anyway, back to the briefing. And I'm like, what was any of that dialogue? Do people not know what a microchip is? Like, who?
Maybe.
What a strange.
Maybe in 2006, that was unreal.
Was there maybe documentation before everyone's in the room? Were they like read up on what was going on?
Like, according to Wikipedia, brand new thing.
Right.
Here's what microchip.
Like, all the dialogue is like, it's not funny, but I mean, it is funny because it's just so bad. Like, I don't even get it.
I liked everyone's flip phones. Oh, actually, see, that scene is another one where it's like, So Costello was with like four guys, and somebody texted the police officers, and they're like, huh, I wonder who the rat is.
Theodore's like kind of hiding beneath a pillar, under a bed, on the side of a pillar.
You guys, although I was going to say it was hard to text like that inconspicuously with a flip phone, but I bet it's easier than doing it with a smartphone. So.
Yeah, because of physical buttons, for sure.
For sure. After the Queenan murder, Colin Sullivan finds out that Frank Costello is actually a protected FBI informant. Oh, he's been giving people up to the FBI. Along with Costello's constant threats, this info sends Colin over the edge. Matt Damon ends up betraying Costello, and he kills him during a drug sting, which I thought was a pretty good scene. Billy barely escapes from the scene, heads to the police station to get his life back now. And now that Costello's dead, his job is officially over. I also really liked that scene. You say what it is, and then I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good scene. Billy meets with Colin to go over his paperwork. But when Colin leaves the office for a moment, Billy finds the evidence proving that Colin is Costello's rat.
Because he knows how to spell citizens, which is a hard word.
Yeah, it's a weird word. He takes off. And when Colin returns, he realizes that Billy must have found out about him. So he deletes Billy from the police system and basically erases any trace of him ever being an undercover cop.
I love that part where the two meet, and but neither of them really know.
That's the best scene.
I love it. That's the best scene. It's so tense, and nobody has to say anything.
Definitely.
It's just,
Matt Damon's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
Yeah.
Is he Leo good, though? No. I mean, to be fair, Leo had more to work with. So.
Yes.
Billy later comes into possession of tapes that proves Colin is guilty. And he uses them to blackmail Colin into meeting him. And also makes his girlfriend break up with him. When Colin shows up, Billy beats him up and starts taking him back to the police station. But Billy gets his head blown off by another dirty cop before he can get back on the street. What?
What?
Colin finds out this other cop is also working for Costello, but he shoots that guy dead because he cannot have anyone connecting to him what happened.
But I'm saying this is the second time we've seen this twist, because there's also another undercover cop with
no him. Except that there wasn't maybe an undercover cop.
Yeah, he did. No, he remember, because he was dying and he said, I actually knew you were a cop, but I didn't say anything.
No, he knew he was a cop because on the phone he gave him the wrong address, but he showed up at the right address,
right? And he didn't say anything because he was an actual cop.
No, because he's like, because Leo was looking around, he's like, because he's like, I could say something right now, but then he dies. Because then later they're like,
right, but he didn't say anything because he's a cop.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because then on the news,
News they said, oh, he's an undercover cop,
and Jack Nicholson says, oh, they're only saying that to tip me off.
Yeah,
but then why would that guy have said anything?
I thought he wasn't a cop.
Oh, I thought it was. Either of us could be right.
Okay,
but it still felt like, oh, that twist again.
Okay, let's see. Maybe because I misunderstood what happened, it didn't throw me.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
So at the end of the day, Billy's dead. Colin gets away scot-free, except his fiance leaves him because she knows that Colin is responsible for Billy's death.
In the movie's final scene, Colin returns home and gets shot through the head by Sergeant Dingham, the only person left in the world who knows about Colin and about Billy being an undercover cop. Dingham walks away. The final credits roll.
As a rat goes across the screen, because it's about rats.
How could we forget that? Now is the part of the show where we call our sister-in-law Michelle?
Call Michelle, but it'll be John.
Because
they're in the shed.
Oh, I see. We're calling Michelle and we're talking to John.
Hello.
Hello, John. It's Flurries on Films, a podcast, and we're talking about The Departed. Have you seen it? What do you think about it?
What do you love about it?
What do you love about it?
Right. Context of this book is I call Colleen to make sure you guys could connect with me on vacation one bar, because I was worried you guys would love The Departed.
Okay.
And that's wrong.
Well,
your
why?
Your listeners deserve to know that The Departed sucked and that they shouldn't watch it.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, so the thing that I hate the most about apart from the fact that everyone says they love it, and those people are wrong, and that makes me hate it even more, is that it's a genuinely interesting and fun and good movie for the first, like, two-thirds and three-fourths. And then the writers, I think, just said, well, how should this end? I don't know. How do you think it should end? I don't know. I guess we'll kill everybody. I don't know.
Favorite
is that
part?
Really going to work?
What's wrong
just
with
try
you?
It. I'm sure it'll be fine. I don't know, other writer. That doesn't sound as fun. Maybe if we just have a second mole show up out of the blue and kill some other people, too. Great! You're a genius! Let's do it!
I think I'm with you. It gets a little silly.
Stupid. I liked it.
So stupid.
I enjoyed that
hated
part.
It so much.
Wow, you're really angry about this.
I'm so angry about it. It's just so stupid. It's like they came up with the premise, but forgot the fucking plot.
Yeah. Man.
So what grade do you give it?
I mean, it's got a lot of good actors. It's got a fun premise, but it's just, it's literally the movie that has your rug pulled out from you. You're wondering, like, was that good? Was that smart? I don't know, because it wasn't, and it wasn't. I give it a D+.
Damn, man. I felt like it was kind of goofy in the first half, with the dialogue and such.
Oh, I enjoyed it, which made me hate it so much more.
Gotcha.
Oh, God, so bad.
John, thank you so much for joining us this
week. We really
appreciate
you being on this podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michael, what grade do you give it?
I'll give it a C+, because I thought it was a fun time. I watched it, but it's just silly and not a good way, personally.
I just liked so many elements of it, and I actually really liked the ending. But
any like tough dudes,
like tough
when
dudes.
Jack Nicholson whips out the penis, you're like, hell yeah,
hell yeah, nice, yeah,
edgy,
nice. I think I'm also gonna give it a C+. But I just, I don't know. It feels harsh because
there's really good scenes in it.
I just really liked some of it. Was like, if you isolated the movie to just some of those scenes and you show me that, I'd be like, wow, this must be a fucking amazing movie. But
it's
then
no
it just
Infernal Affairs.
I mean, what a great pun.
Does that even, much better title.
Does that even work in Cantonese?
Who knows? Does some localizer having a great time?
So this week, we are sponsored by... Hey, Michael, I feel like a sandwich.
What? Where should we get it? Should it be fresh? And should you be able to select the ingredients?
Yeah, but which? which?
Okay.
Where you get it all. See what I was doing there?
That is a good spot copy we did.
Good job. Witch, where you can pick your ingredients and you can put any name you want on those little bags.
We nailed it, man. That was good.
Anyway, join us next week when we put up the randomizer. And it is Frozen? Who did Frozen?
Find out next week.
And stay tuned for that trailer.
Okay.
And cut.
Summer in the city of Arendelle. It couldn't be warmer. It couldn't be sunnier. But that's about to change. Forever.
Arendelle.
It's completely frozen.
Cold, 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 cold.
A real howler in July, yeah?
The land's covered in eternal snow.
If we don't do something soon, we'll all freeze to death.
You want to talk about a problem? I sell ice for a living.
Ooh, that's a rough business to be in right now. I mean, that is really... that's unfortunate.
My lady.
Whoa, whoa. This is awkward. Not you're awkward, but just because I'm awkward. You're gorgeous. Wait, what?
Hi, everyone. I'm Olaf. Hi.
You're creepy.
Whoa.
I don't want
whoa,
it.
Whoa.
No.
All right, we got off to a bad start.
I know how to stop this winter.
Yeah!
Hang on.
I like fast.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Get your feet down. This is fresh lacquer. Seriously, were you raised in a barn?
Let's go bring back summer!
Man, am I out of shape.
Wolves.
Stop!
Whoa.
Whoa!
Are you okay?
I've got a thick skull.
I don't have a skull.
Oh, woo!
Head rush.
So cute. It's like a little baby unicorn.
Now we just have to survive this blizzard!
That's no blizzard!
Sorcery.
That's my sister!
That would have been nice to know.
Heads up!
It is not nice to throw snow, people!
Whoa, 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 feisty pants. Just let the snowman be.
I'm calm.
Great. Come on!
Olaf, you're melting.
Some people are worth melting for. You're just maybe not right this second.
Come on, buddy, faster!
No!
Olaf!
Hang in there, guys! I can't feel my legs! I can't feel my legs!
Those are my legs.
Oh, hey, do me a favor, grab my butt!
Oh, that feels better.